Yes, I am ready. Jasper is scratching at his scratching post. So, I guess we're going to do a show.
Let's make it happen, right? Yeah, why not? I didn't have air conditioning for a week in my house. We can talk about that too.
Yeesh. That sucks. It was... And in Texas? My goodness.
It was about 107 yesterday.
Hey everyone, I'm Kimberly Adams, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense in D.C., where it is not as hot as it is in Texas.
It's pretty hot here in Texas. I'm Andy Ullern for Kai Rizdahl. Thank you to everyone for joining us for Economics on Tap, whether you're joining us from the YouTube live stream or you're listening to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Yes, and so we are going to have some news, a round of half full, half empty. But of course, First we have to start with the drinks. Andy, welcome. What are you drinking today?
Thank you. It's so funny. I think the last time I was on here on a Friday with you, I told you, I think I was maybe a month in, but I told you that I was taking a year off, right?
And
So I'm about 10 months in now. But I do.
Good for you.
No, it's great. It's good. But I have it's called a Klausthaler. It's an NA beer. It's so funny because when I started doing this, I was like, I got to find the best NA beers, right? Because for me, and I think for a lot of people too.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. for me, there's something pretty habitual about, you know, sitting down, watching a game, drinking a beer. And so I have a buddy here in Austin. It's funny, there's believe it or not, an economics angle here.
Okay.
I have a buddy who's a head brewer in Austin. And I go to his brewery once every couple of weeks, at least Austin Beer Works. They're great. And I, you know, last year I would go and I'd drink a bunch of beers and we'd, you know, have a good time. And then I started hassling him about making a non-alcoholic beer, you know, because, well, that's what I want to drink. And he started talking to me about sort of the dynamics of it. And I didn't realize that you sort of have to be a really big brewery. And all of the big breweries are the ones who can afford the mechanisms and sort of the mechanics to make these non-alcoholic beers. It's apparently just a completely different system, so you have to have so much capital and so much money to make it happen. So that's why you don't really necessarily see a whole lot of craft breweries brewing a lot of NA beers. There's Athletic Brewery in Colorado that just does NA. So all of their equipment is just for the non-alcoholics brews, but not a whole lot of craft breweries. And it's because it's so expensive.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So look at you.
It
You're
does,
making
right?
us smarter already. I didn't know any of those things. So thanks.
What
Good looking
drinking?
Out. I am drinking scotch because it was literally the quickest thing for me to pour, and I was like running to make it here on time. So I'm just going to be very slowly drinking the scotch. All right, let's get some news in here. Andy, why don't you start?
So I was just telling you, we were talking a little bit earlier. I'm so happy to be here on Bobby Bonilla Day. I need to wish you a happy Bobby Bonilla Day. And you might ask me, what is Bobby Bonilla Day? Which is completely fair. So I'll give you a little bit of the backstory. Bobby Bonilla was a pretty famous baseball player in the 90s into the early 2000s. And what happened was he was with the Pirates for a long time. He sort of made his money after being with the Pirates and having some success because the New York Mets, signed him to a contract, and it was sort of, you know, his opportunity to get paid. What had happened was Bobby Bonilla's agent turned it into essentially a contract over the course of 25 years. And so the Mets, it's a really interesting sort of economic conundrum here, because the Mets were essentially deferring that payment, right? They didn't want to pay him up front a whole lot of money. They said, you know what, we'll give you $1.5 million, $1.2 million over the course of 25 years. How about that? And his agent said, yeah, sure. So Bobby Bonilla hasn't played baseball in 20 years, and he still has a $1.2 million check coming to him every year on July 1st, because of this interesting contract that he signed. And it's because it's essentially an investment strategy, right? The Mets wanted to defer those payments. They wanted to invest up front on different assets. So they wanted to have that capital. And they said, you know what? $1.2 million, who cares? We're going to pay you that over the next, you know, 25, 30 years. That, you know, it's a drop in the bucket. But What's happened is it's sort of become a meme, right? That they're still paying this dude who hasn't played baseball in so long $1 million every single year. It's super interesting.
That is interesting. Although I will have to also, since we're talking about days, acknowledge that it's Canada Day today.
There you go.
Which I learned from an incredibly entertaining tweet where it's this guy who did a video showing as if like there was an American guy in his backyard and a Canadian guy in his backyard, and the American guy's getting ready for 4th of July and the Canadian guy's, it's Canada Day is better. And they are sort of going back and forth about what Canada has versus the U.S. And it's very funny. And so happy Canada Day to all. But I want to just, I know this is a little bit of a hard turn, but I do want to acknowledge that today, Brittany Griner, the WNBA star who's been held captive or arrested and held under detention in Russia, was in court today. I guess it was yesterday now in Russia. And she faces 10 years in prison. Obviously, the U.S. says she's being wrongfully held. And the, you know, embassy officials there say that they've spoken with her. She's as well as can be expected. And that, quote, she asked me to convey that she's in good spirits and is keeping up the faith. So Miss Brittany Griner has been there since February 17th.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's that's rough. I mean, this is sort of one of the consequences of war.
One of the super interesting conversations that I think a lot of folks, especially in the and look, I don't just talk about sports, I swear. But one of the conversations that folks are having in this space, which I think is a really interesting and important one, is look, if this were a really important NBA star, would the U.S. be sending a whole lot more personnel and money and attention to make sure that this person gets sent home? It's an argument we have to have, right? And it's something we have to talk about because that's sort of the reality, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah, and as Kevin points out in the Discord and something that you and I have talked about before, you know, the reason she was playing in Russia is because of the pay disparities here in the United States. And even the best of the WNBA players still feel this pressure to go and play in Europe or in Russia to make up the
make
difference in cash. To make a living.
Yep.
So hopefully she gets home soon. So, yes.
With that,
here's one for Brittany Griner. And we should move on to the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to play a game? I mean, we were just talking about sports, a lot of sports, so we got to play a game.
All right. The game specifically is half full, half empty, hosted by the one, the only, the amazing Drew Jostad. And the crowd goes wild.
One of the commissioners of the Federal Communications Commission has called for Google and Apple to remove TikTok from their app stores. Are you half full or half empty?
I'm half empty because I'm annoyed because I literally just put TikTok on my phone last week. I finally like broke down and I was like, okay, I'm going to do what the kids are doing, get on TikTok. Sure. And then it's like, danger. Like I've obviously read all the stories about TikTok and the, you know, different issues that have come up with the app over the years and, you know, spying for the Chinese government. But I thought perhaps that, you know, they dialed back the surveillance and everything like that. But who knows? I was listening to this particular FCC commissioner on Morning Edition the other day talking about this. And it doesn't seem like there's a ton of evidence that anything new is happening here.
Right.
So... yeah. You know, on general principle, is TikTok pretty spy-y? Probably. But is there a particular reason to do it now? Meh. I'm going to go half empty.
Well, I'm sort of half empty with you there, too, because for very similar reasons, it seems like, you know, picking winners and losers, right? I mean, their surveillance, it feels like TikTok has just sort of gotten tagged as the one who's working for the Chinese government. But, you know, when we think about different platforms and different ways that our data and our information is getting out, you know, if you're going to pick one, it feels like you have to have that discussion again about everybody else, about what your WhatsApp is sort of up to. So I don't know. I'm half empty with you.
I mean, I think if you're talking about privacy and our data going everywhere, it's a question of if your data is going to be everywhere and sold and passed around, do you want it being held by the Chinese government, our government, private corporations? Pick your poison.
Yeah, that's a
good All point. Right. What's next, Drew?
Are you half full or half empty on Delta Airlines apparently having to offer $10,000 to buy people out of an overbooked flight?
You know, I put this in Slack today because I was stunned.
Were you guys talking about it?
Yeah, I was just surprised. Go ahead, Andy.
No. I was going to say I'm half full. I mean, isn't this, and it's something I think that we talk about, or maybe we just talk about it in our little, you know, sort of clandestine circles. It feels like overbooking flights is what happens, and it's part of the business. And so there should be repercussions for that, right? I mean, it feels like every analyst that I talk to whenever I do any sort of airline story, it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's just sort of what they do. They just sort of overbook, and then they deal with the consequences later. It's like, don't do that, y'all. Come on.
So, I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to go half full because I do think people should be compensated for not just the disruption, but also, like, who knows what you're asking people to miss. But I do question whether, like, what's the calculation to where that makes sense? Like, how much money do you lose, you know, not compensating people and just canceling?
You mean if you're Delta?
Yeah, if you're the airline, because like you could just cancel the flight and rebook everybody onto other flights, and then you don't pay anybody anything, right? Because that happens all the time.
Right.
And then, but $10,000 for eight people in the case of this, so that's 80 grand. So they ran the calculation that 80 grand hit was going to be less of a hit than, I guess, having to cancel the flight altogether. It's interesting math.
Do you think there's it is? And I also think about sort of the PR implications, right? Do you see this headline? Do you see this story and say, oh, my God, Delta's paying out people $10,000 for a flight?
Book with them.
I guess, right?
If I'm going to get my booted off my flight, may as well get 10 grand for it.
Exactly. What's next, Drew?
All right. Yeah.
All right, you know we're keeping tabs on the experimental menu items at Taco Bell. Are you half full or half empty on having a Taco Bell menu item with a massive 16 times the standard size Cheez-It instead of a tostada shell?
So square rather than round.
Sure.
You're in the land of Tex-Mex. You go first.
I'm in the land of Tex-Mex, which maybe nullifies my. I mean, I'm half empty. It just sounds kind of goofy and kind of gimmicky. I mean, you know, actually, what's interesting is that Taco Bell, I think, had a lot of success when they were doing Doritos tacos and things like that. Branding for them is actually branding partnerships has been pretty good. I'm sort of half empty because I think it sounds kind of grody, but I don't know. What do you think?
I'm going to go half empty for, like, health concerns. Like,
are you a Cheez-It eater?
I can't be. No, but I also am not a cheese person. Although, I should say, I have been actively trying to find the Old Bay Goldfish crackers. So, I love Old Bay seasoning. And they've made these limited edition Old Bay Goldfish crackers. But I haven't been able to actually find them in the store. But people say that they are delicious.
Now, is Old Bay, that's not Missouri, that's up in the Northeast, where did that?
No, that's Mid-Atlantic. That's a very, like, Mid-Atlantic, Chesapeake Bay thing.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
All right, what's the next one, Drew?
Half full or half empty on cities and towns replacing their fireworks shows this year with drone shows.
So, I'll go here. So, Kimberly, I did some reporting on this for next week. And so I spent a little bit of time talking to fireworks experts and also fire safety experts. One of the people that I talked to, she's a fire safety expert and just a fire scientist. And she was talking about why don't we do laser lights shows instead of fireworks shows? Because in the Western states specifically, she's in Colorado, but in the Western states specifically, it really is so dangerous and so bad in terms of how dry they are and how little water they have out there, that there's a pretty solid argument for it. At the same time, I don't think I told... I, I'm half full on the drones. Just because the problem is so, it's so bad. We have burn bans here in a lot of counties in Texas. It's funny. My neighbor was just asking me he just got here from Chicago about a month ago, and he was like, "What do you do? Do you guys buy illegal fireworks and do you shoot them off in your yard?" And I was like, "Well, you're not really supposed to do that. Some people in Texas certainly do." And so I don't know. I'm sort of like, you know, there's certainly some nostalgia for me with going and watching fireworks. But again, those seem like they're a little bit different from folks just sort of, you know, setting off fireworks. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm going to go full. I mean, these fires are just so devastating. And it reminds me of one time when Amy Scott was on the show, and the make me smile I had was this guy also in Texas who did this drone show in, I think it was Houston, and put a QR code in the sky. And so if you held up your phone on this drone constellation and scanned the QR code, you basically got Rickrolled.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome. It was very entertaining. I've noticed a lot of politicians like to do it also. And I suppose it's a bit more cost efficient because you can deploy the same fleet of drones over and over and over again and make that your business. Whereas with fireworks, you blow them up and they're gone. So
I had a whole bunch of conversations about.
Annie Rigg in the chat mentions a good point. I used to love fireworks, but after my dogs, my veteran friends, I just can't anymore, and it's so expensive. Yeah, because this triggers PTSD for some people, and then animals don't like it. I mean, luckily Jasper's deaf. He doesn't care. But, you know, like a lot of in my days of local reporting and local news, I remember doing a story with interviewing vets about how to, like, help your animals not freak out for 4th of July.
I wanted to tell you too, I was in the course of that reporting, I was talking about, because safe and sane is sort of the nomenclature about things that don't explode and don't leave the ground. And that's sort of, it's a category now of fireworks that are being sold by fireworks companies. And I sort of started talking to people on Twitter about it. And the attitude was very much just don't use any of them at all if you're going to use the safe and sane, because, you know, they just don't think they're very lame. At the same time, what one of the representatives told me was they're significantly cheaper. And so if you're feeling some sort of inflation pressures, then buy a whole lot of these little safe and sane fireworks. You know, if you have little kids, you know, it doesn't really matter. They're not going to, you know,
sparklers.
Notice all that much of a difference. Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting. I didn't even think about the sort of economic ideas of, you know, buying a whole lot of fireworks can get pretty expensive. Just buying the safe and sane ones, pretty cheap.
We'll still be watching the 4th fireworks. Drew's like, enough, y'all, enough. It's getting late. Yeah, it's Friday. It's a holiday. Stop talking. All right. We will be off Monday for the holiday. And so we will see y'all back here on Tuesday with a deep dive on joyous of topics, capitalism and the environment. Some people.
And you know that I'm going to 2 cents on Twitter with you guys about exactly what's happening there. This is basically all I think about and all I study. So I'm in.
I'm ready for it. We will take all of the cents that you have to offer because certainly we need it. You know, because a lot of people really feel deeply strongly that capitalism as a structure is what is driving climate change. And so we're going to be talking about whether or not capitalism could potentially help us mitigate global warming, or is it just a lost cause altogether?
So if that is a topic that has been on your mind, send us your thoughts and questions. Email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message. We're at 508-827-6278. That's 508-UBSMART.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad, who's also famous. And the senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
And this is the part where I'm supposed to go and tell you about the team behind this. I'm going to let Kimberly do that because I didn't ask. Go ahead.
It's okay. It's okay. The team behind our Friday game is Stephen Myon, Mel Rosenberg, and Emily McCune, with the theme music written by Drew Jostad. And our director of On Demand is Donna Tam. Andy, awesome. I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July and good times.
Same to you.
Do you have the day off?
I do have the mail.
Oh, look, I see a dog. I see a dog now. Can you bring the dog? Hi, Larry.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Larry was just hanging out the whole time.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.